Thank you, Loman, and thank you, Jeff, for being a guest on the Lincoln Radio program. Jeff, can you share with our listeners the inspiration for starting this organization, Operation Healing Forces? What inspired this organization to come together?
How this began, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Gary Markell, a Florida businessman, he was watching a television show one night of wounded soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines returning from war, and they were trying to relearn how to scuba dive after having some horrific wounds, missing limbs, gunshot wounds, IED blasts, and saw these guys moving on a beach, many of them having to crawl through the sand, and it really touched his heart. He wanted to find a way to help, a way to give back, and to say thank you to them and their families for service to our country. So at the time, he knew, and he still knows, General Doug Brown, who was the commander of Special Operations Command at the time, and reached out to General Brown. And Gary has a yacht, and he's like, hey, I would love to host a group of these guys who fought for our country and are continuing to do so on board my yacht. And General Brown, shortly after 9/11, Special Operations, the nature of warfare really changed because Special Operations really started to be used a great deal more than the United States had ever used special ops in the past actively. And so as a result of that, we also started to see a greater rise in casualties. And it takes anywhere from 8 to 10 years to grow a seasoned special operator. They are the military's utmost elite. And so General Brown, seeing the rise in casualties, had started a program called CARE Coalition, or also known as the Special Operations Warrior Care Program, where anyone that got wounded, ill, or injured seriously in Special Operations would be assigned an advocate to try to help them recover, rehabilitate, and then get back to the force and get back to the fight. Or if their wounds are so severe, and they have to then transition successfully back into civilian life. And so they had what then was called Operation Cruise. Gary started a nonprofit, Mr. Markell did, and they had their first retreat. And one of the very unique things was that Gary and his wife Denise thought of is it's not just their service member, it's their spouse, because the spouse is part of the team too.
I think a lot of people listening to the program, Jeff, understands that it's like when someone in the family has a traumatic brain injury or someone in the family has special needs, it doesn't just happen to the individual, it happens to the whole family.
Absolutely, absolutely. Too many times the family becomes the collateral damage. As a doctor one time told me, it's overseas when you're deployed, you learn these survival mechanisms. They keep you and your teammates alive. Well, those survival mechanisms that get ingrained to you because you've seen them successful downrange, you bring those back and you end up bringing them back into your home. You bring them back to your family. And it doesn't equate very well with a family lifestyle or family culture a lot of times. And so then you've got a couple of things. You've got guys that may have post-traumatic stress, but the symptoms also are very similar to a traumatic brain injury. For anyone that's ever seen the movie Concussion with the NFL, think about that for a special operator, that not only is he receiving concussions from blunt force trauma, whether he's in a fight or whether he's practicing combatives or whether he's falling out of an airplane with a parachute and he hits his head on the ground, but he's also receiving traumatic brain injuries that are cumulative in nature from overpressure of blast, whether it's an IED, whether it's a car or Gustav round, whether it is door charges that have been done hundreds of times, that's still affecting his brain over time. And so those things coupled together, then sometimes he's either can be quick to temper, quick to anger, as well as quick to take action. And a lot of times, sometimes it does not always fit well in a family setting. Yet overseas, that's what he needs to be able to do and perform. And then a lot of times he'll suppress a lot of memories that happen overseas because he cannot let that get in the way of his mission.
Right.
And then yet when he gets back home, that slows down, then those can come back to him.
Jeff, I know that for your organization, it's so important to have the right leadership. And I hope this doesn't embarrass you, but I'd like to share with the listeners who you are. You're a retired lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. You served in special operations for 8 deployments into Afghanistan and Iraq. You're a 1993 graduate of West Point. When you parachuted into Afghanistan and then Iraq, one of those times you were injured Your spine was injured, and then you were brought home for rehab. And you, while you're rehabbing, you earned a Master's of Science degree in defense analysis with a concentration in irregular warfare. You received the Legion of Merit Award, 2 Bronze Stars, 3 Meritorious Service Awards, and the Combat Infantryman's Badge. So you're the real deal, and the other staff in the organization are the real deal as well. But I don't know if our listeners know, what's the difference between a special operations soldier and a regular combat soldier or other parts of the military?
Gotcha. Well, thank you for that intro. And the only reason I was able to do that was because of, I definitely have to first thank God, and then I had and was honored and privileged to work with very good people and had a wonderful wife back home that kept things together. But so for special operations, in all of the Department of Defense, there's only about 68,000 roughly people in special operations, under the special operations umbrella, if you will. Out of that 68,000, there's only roughly about I'd say around 15,000 to 20,000 that are actually what I would call door kickers, or the elite special operators that are stepping out into harm's way every day and every night. So roughly, special operations forces make up about 3.5% of the U.S. military. And out of that, elite operators only make up about 8 to 10% of that number. And so when I talk about special operations forces, I'm talking about guys like Green Berets on 12-man A-teams, Night Stalkers out of the 160th, SEALs, Air Force Special Tactics, Marine Raiders, and Rangers out of the Ranger Battalions. Those are, and there are other units out there as well. Some remain hidden in the shadows. Others work in and out of the shadows. But we're talking about the very top or tip of the spear, if you will, out of all of America's military forces.
This is Joe Geiger in the Lincoln Radio Program. My guest today is Jeff Hudson. He's the executive director of an organization called Operation Healing Forces, and also a retired lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. Jeff, what are the goals of Operation Healing Forces? What do you hope to accomplish with the services that you provide?
Our mission with Operation Healing Forces is to serve the needs of our active duty and recent veteran, wounded, ill, and injured Special Operations Forces and their spouses by starting or continuing the process of mentally, physically, and emotionally healing in preparation to return them to the fight or help them successfully transition into civilian life.
And how do you do that? What mechanism do you use to make that happen?
What we do is therapeutic retreats. We take these guys and girls, active duty and their spouses, that have gone through severe battlefield and personal hardships, and we take them to a safe, protected environment that allows them to be able to let down their guard and share and talk about things. And they're willing to talk about as much or as little as they want to, but as they find that it's not a threat, they're able to open up and share where they can get support and guidance, where they can get additional resources to find help, as well as what's in store for the road ahead for those that may be younger in the community.
And that trust comes pretty quickly when they know who the facilitators of the retreat are, and they know that their peer group at this retreat are like and similar situations to what they experienced.
Absolutely. They've all, whether it's a SEAL, a Ranger, a Green Beret, a Marine Raider, they've all served in similar areas. They've all been on similar missions. And unfortunately, they've all lost friends that they may know. And so as they realize, they're not going to be stuck in a room. They're not going to be analyzed by shrinks or docs or anything like that. It is a group of brothers and sisters coming together to see a better side of life in a good part of the United States and be able to talk about some of the things they've been through and how to prepare for the road ahead.
And they develop a little bit of a peer group where the military can see there are other guys going through the same, guys being male and female, going through the same kinds of challenges I'm going through, and the spouses can also develop that kind of a support group.
Absolutely. We've got over 97% of our folks that have been through our program tell us that they made some of their best friends on a retreat and still stay in touch today, even though they may live at different areas of the country.
I can imagine as these folks graduate out of the retreat, that they're very motivated and very comforted by what happened. What's the power that keeps them going once they leave?
I think one of the big things, it's almost an epiphany, if you will, when folks come on one of these retreats is, and this happened to me too at the very beginning years ago, is that you arrive and you're not quite sure what to expect. You're almost thinking like, you know, this sounds too good to be true. And then you get there and you realize that someone is not only donating their home for you to stay in and allow you to sleep in their bed and provide you meals and activities, not just for you, but also for your wife, that probably one of the most powerful things is people start to realize that people care. Too many times these guys are deploying, and it's not in the news. And October 7th, just this past couple of weeks, marked the 17th year of the war. And very few people realize that special operations have been continually deploying into combat now for 17 years.
Jeff, what you're talking about has to be very rewarding, but it also has to be very exhausting. So at the end of the day, how do you know you're making a difference? I've read the book with the testimonials that have come in, and it's amazing. Would you share one or two of those?
One of the quotes that always stays with me, and there's several, but I had a gentleman come up about day three of the retreat. He said, "Hey, Jeff, you know there are 22 veteran suicides a day." And I said, "Yeah, I've heard that." He's like, "Well, you know, tomorrow there will only be 21. I looked at him like, kind of, you know, what do you mean by that? He said, "Well, because of this retreat, because this happened, yeah, I won't be one of those 22 tomorrow."
Boy, that's incredibly moving. This program cost money also, and I know that you get a lot of the money from private donations and from maybe some grants here and there. But I want to do another throw out to Gary Markell. What has he done for your program that's outstanding?
Yeah, what is really also kind of separates us from a lot of other programs out there that's just phenomenal is Gary Markell, our chairman, and his wife, Denise, and then Tony Markell and his wife, Betsy. Tony is our secretary on our board, directors. They personally cover 100% of all of our overhead costs. So all of our fundraising, all of our admin costs, general costs, all those are personally covered by Gary and Tony Markell. So all of our donations, 100% of our donations, all go towards program costs that enable the couples to come and participate in the retreats that we host.
That's incredible. It's an incredible commitment that speaks to the value of what you do. If anyone listening to this program would like more information, how can they find you?
Our website is www.operationhealingforces.org. And on there, there's various information. They're also welcome. We have contact information out there. If there's anything additional they would like to know, they're more than welcome to contact me or us off of that site.
This is Joe Geiger on the Lincoln Radio Program. My guest today is Jeff Hudson, retired Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Army and the executive director of an organization called Operation Healing Forces. But I want to thank you for being a guest on our program, and I want to thank you for what you're doing for so many people that don't get the thank yous they deserve.